Let's take our Bibles this morning, and we're going to begin with a few verses in John chapter 2, but our lesson is mainly going to focus, the message is mainly going to focus on John chapter 3. And I want to preach to you this morning about saving faith, saving faith. We began, I think this might be the fourth Sunday, if I remember right, that We have been studying here in the Gospel of John. The message this morning is about saving faith. Saving faith. John chapter 2, and let's stand together to look at a few scriptures here as we begin. John chapter number 2, and let's begin by reading verses 23 to 25. John chapter 2, verse 23 to 25. The Bible says here, "Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any man should testify, and he should testify a man, for he knew what was in man." He knew what was in man. I find those verses very interesting. And that won't be the focus of our message, but it's the starting point. Let's pray. Father, I do ask you to help us this morning. I do pray that you would use your word in a powerful way to convict us and challenge us. Help us to see our need. And Lord, if there's someone that maybe would say they have faith, but they don't really have a saving faith, I pray you'd speak to them about that. And Lord, if we are here as Christians, or we are people that call ourselves believers, but maybe if God examined us or looked at our heart, he would say, I know their heart, and they're really not believers. May we be convicted about that. Lord, if there is something missing in our life, some void, some emptiness, something that is not real or not true, Lord, I pray you'd convict us and challenge us about that. That we would come to you, that we'd be changed, that we'd truly have saving faith. Speak to us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Again, John chapter 2 and verse 23, it said, "Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles that he did." We could look at this verse and we could think, wow, it's wonderful that people were believing. But the reality is, when we read the following verses after that, that these people were really not believing at all. They really did not have saving faith. They were just nodding in assent to the miracles that Jesus had performed. Maybe they were simply impressed by Jesus. Maybe they were impressed by some of the things that he had done. And they said they were believing. They were acting like they were believing. But in truth, Jesus knew their heart. And they did not have a saving faith. That's incredible to me. Notice what it says, verse 24. "But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men." John 2, 24. And then look at verse 25. "And needed not that any should testify a man, for he knew what was in man." You see, Jesus knew the hearts of these people. We could look at verse John 2:23 and think, wow, there's people that are believing. That's awesome. But Jesus looked at it and knew their hearts and said, they really were not. They really did not have a saving faith. And that's convicting. Here was people that, though they said they were believing, the reality is they were not repenting, in the sense that they were obviously not turning from their false religion. Maybe these were Jews that, you know, they said they were believing, but they didn't want to give up their religion. They didn't want to turn from the religion to truly put their faith in Jesus Christ and believe in him as the Messiah, as the Savior, and trust in him and him alone. They didn't want to turn from religion. They didn't want to turn from traditions. They didn't want to turn from their works. They didn't want to put their faith in Jesus Christ alone, even though they said they believed. Obviously, they still wanted to hold to religion instead of truly trusting Christ. He knew their hearts. Jesus knew what was in them. He knew what was in their hearts. Listen, what does a person mean today when they say they believe in Jesus? You know, I could go into our community and I could talk to all kinds of people and ask them, do you believe in Jesus? I could say, yes, I believe in Jesus. And I think a lot of people would say they believe in Jesus. But that doesn't mean they have saving faith. That doesn't mean they have saving faith. What does a person mean when they say they believe in Jesus? Well, do you believe in Jesus as a good man? Many would believe in him as a good man. Do you believe in him as a moral man? Many would believe that. Do you believe in him as a good teacher? A lot of people would believe that. Do you believe in him as maybe being a prophet perhaps? Some think that. Some think of Jesus as just a good man. They think of him as a moral man. They think of him as maybe being another one of the prophets. Or when you say you believe in him, do you truly believe in Jesus as the only begotten Son of God? Do you truly believe in Jesus as the only Savior of the world? Do you believe in the facts of the gospel? Do you believe that Jesus died for our sins? Okay, I'd say that's good too. That's good too. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you believe that Jesus died for our sins, that's a good thing. But let me ask you another thing that takes it a step further. Because you know what? I've known people that have believed in Jesus and believe he died on the cross for sins. But when it came to a matter of what their faith was in, they were trusting in something else. I ask you this morning, are you trusting him and him alone as your personal Savior to forgive your sins? Are you trusting in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as your only hope, as the only way that you can get to heaven? Or are you maybe trusting in your works? Or are you maybe trusting in religion? Or maybe are you trusting in some other thing? Listen, Jesus knows your heart just like he knew the hearts of these men. Many people believed there, it said in John 2:23, because they saw his miracles, but they did not really have a saving faith. They said they believed in Jesus, but a better question is this. Does Jesus believe in them? He didn't. You may say you believe in Jesus, but I ask you, does he believe in you? Again, notice what that verse said. Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men and needed not that any should testify man, for he knew what was in man. They were saying they were believing in him, but Jesus did not believe in them. He knew their hearts. They really did not have saving faith. You say you believe in him, but does he believe in you? Jesus knows if your faith is real. Jesus knows if your trust and dependency is completely upon him. Or if maybe in pride, you're trusting in your good works. You know what causes us to trust in our good works? It's really pride. That's really what it is. It's a self-sufficiency. It's a depending on ourselves. It's a maybe thinking, well, I'm good enough or I'm okay. I don't need anything else. Listen, I'm not good enough. At my very best, I'm a sinner. And all of us are sinners. Each and every one of us are sinners. And because of sin, we're lost. Because of sin, we need the Savior. We all need the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're just trusting in religion or trusting in our good works, that's not good enough. You might tell me, oh, Pastor, I believe in Jesus. But are you trusting in Jesus as your personal Savior? Or are you trusting in some religion? Are you trusting in what some man can do for you? Are you trusting in the good works that you do? That can't save you. That can't get you to heaven. You must trust Jesus and him alone. Are you trusting that you said a prayer? Or do you know without any doubts that you've been truly born again? As we enter John chapter 3, listen, Jesus is still in Jerusalem. There was a crowd that were impressed by Jesus' miracles and what he could do. And the Bible records that they believed, but their belief was obviously not something from the heart. Maybe they gave a mental assent, if you will, to, you know, an acknowledging of Jesus or a believing in Jesus or a confidence in Jesus. But they were not really believing with their heart. Maybe they gave mental assent to it, but they did not have saving faith. You know, people are still like that today. There may be people who give mental assent or mental agreement to the story of Jesus. They would believe in Jesus with their mind. They would say, oh yes, I've heard that story, or I know that the Bible tells us that, and so I believe that Jesus died on a cross and he was crucified. They may believe that these accounts are true, but they maybe have never truly believed on Jesus with all their heart as their personal Savior and as their only hope. Is that you this morning? Are you someone who maybe would say, I know all about Jesus, and yes, I even believed he died on the cross to pay for sins. I believe that's why he died. He died for us. He died for sin. But have you lived your life maybe trusting in religion, maybe trusting in yourself, maybe trusting in good works? Have you ever come to the place where you've been born again? Do you even know what it means when I say being born again? I want to help you with that today. In John chapter 3, and to look at it with me, keep your Bibles open. We want to see this story. Let me share with you some thoughts, and then we'll get into the verses of this. In John chapter 3, there was one religious Jewish man named Nicodemus. He was a very religious man. He was one of the Pharisees, in fact. They were the strict of the strict. I mean, they were devoted to God. It's not that they hated God or weren't. They loved God. They were believers in God, and they were zealous for God. But they didn't understand Jesus. They didn't recognize Jesus as the one who had come to be their Messiah. But there was one of these Pharisees that came to Jesus by night. And obviously there was something in his heart that was seeking the truth. There was something that he was wanting answers in his heart. Nicodemus was one of these Pharisees, and the Bible says he was a ruler of the Jews. We know his name. We know that he was very devoted religiously. He believed in God. He believed the Old Testament scriptures. He would have known the Old Testament scriptures, that portion of our Bible. He would have known that probably better than anybody in this room. I mean, he knew the Old Testament scriptures and he loved God. He had been a pretty important man religiously and in society. But at the end of the day, he was still just a man. And this man, Nicodemus, he was still just Nick, if you will, at the end of the day. Maybe somebody called him that for short. Maybe they wanted to give it to him as a nickname. Pun intended. Amen? A nickname. Nicodemus. Maybe they called him Nick when he went home or with his family. You know, Nicodemus was an important man in the day. Religious man. Ruler of the Jews. Maybe when he walked through the city during the daytime, people would even step aside for him as he walked. I mean, he was somebody. But at the end of the day, he was still a man like any other man. And he was looking for something or someone to believe in. Nicodemus was somebody that was wanting peace in his heart. Nicodemus was somebody that knew that something's missing on my life. Something's missing on the inside. You know something? Men are still like that today. Men are still like that today. It doesn't matter all the wealth that a man may have. It doesn't matter the title that a person may have on a door, maybe at work, or on a card. It doesn't matter the position a man might have. All men are still looking for something in their heart. You know what it is that people truly need? It's a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's what every man needs. It doesn't matter who you are in the day or how powerful you are or how lowly you are. It doesn't matter what position you have or what wealth you have or if people answer to your command or you're the boss of other people. What matters at the end of the day is what's going on in your heart and what do you have on the inside. Do you really know Jesus Christ? Do you have a relationship with Him? Do you have a relationship with God through Jesus or not? Look with me there at John chapter 3. Notice verses 1 and 2. Nicodemus knew that Jesus must be somebody that was come from God. Notice what it says, John 3, 1 and 2. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Now, he was kind of afraid of what all his other Pharisee buddy friends would say. And what, you know, others might think, and if he'd lose his position. But he comes to Jesus by night and says, we do know. We know you've got to be from God. I don't know. I don't understand, though, who you are or exactly what you are. But I know you've got to be from God. I really think that Nicodemus was looking for something more. He had religion, he had a position, he was a ruler, but I think he was really looking for something more. He knew that there had to be something more than what he had currently. I think he was sincere in his desire to know exactly who Jesus was. Maybe he wondered, you know, are you a teacher? Are you a prophet? Maybe he wondered if Jesus truly was the Messiah. Remember what chapter 2 and verse 25 told us? Jesus knows what is in the hearts of men. Acts 15:8 tells us that God knows the hearts. God knoweth the hearts. Mark chapter 2 verse number 8 gives us an example of how Jesus always knows what's in the hearts of men. When we're with him, he knows what's in our hearts. There's never anything that's hid from God. And here in John chapter 3, Jesus obviously knew what was in the heart of Nicodemus. Nicodemus is a ruler and an important man and a religious man, a Pharisee. But he comes to Jesus at night with these questions. And I think because Jesus knows the hearts, I think Jesus understood that there was a longing in Nicodemus' heart. There was a searching in Nicodemus' heart. He knew that there was something missing. I think Jesus knew what was in his heart. And here in John chapter 3 and verse number 3, Jesus answered a question that the Bible actually does not record Nicodemus asking, but I think Jesus knew that this was probably truly a question in Nicodemus's heart. Maybe it was a question of how can I enter into the kingdom of heaven? Or how can I truly be a part of God's kingdom? Because notice what Jesus says to him. Notice what Jesus tells him in verse 5. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus tells Nicodemus that he must be born again. He must be born again. Nicodemus did not understand Jesus telling him that he had to be born again. He didn't understand it. Notice what verse 4 says. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? All Nicodemus could think about at that point was the physical birth, and he didn't understand. I'm a grown man, Jesus. I don't get it. How can I, you know, be in my mother's womb and be born again, be born a second time? This doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand it. How can I, as a grown man, become a tiny baby and be in my mother's womb and be born? And then notice verse 5. And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus explains the difference to Nicodemus. I believe that Jesus was responding directly now to Nicodemus's question, where he says, I don't get it. I'm a grown man. I can't become a little baby in my mother's womb again. And he answers that question, I believe, by trying to share the difference with Nicodemus that, no, that's not what I'm talking about. You already were born of water. You already were born physically. But now you must be born of the Spirit of God. You already had a physical birth, Nicodemus, and now you need to have a spiritual birth. You know, every one of us, we can point back to our time in our life. You have a physical birthday, don't you? That's a time you were a baby, you were in your mother's womb, and as your mother began to have contractions, what happened? The water broke and a baby was delivered. That's your physical birth. That's the first birth. But what happens? What needs to happen for a person to be saved? They must be born again. There must be a spiritual birth. A spiritual birth. This isn't teaching that baptism is necessary for salvation. I think Jesus was just answering Nicodemus's question. That we must be born of the Spirit with life from above into God's family divine. The only water necessary for salvation is not baptismal water, it's the washing water of the Word of God. Sometimes water is symbolic of the Word of God. There's sanctifying cleansing power in God's Word. John 17, if you turn with me over there, John chapter 17 and verse number 17, notice what this says. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And John chapter 15 and verse 3, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. God's word is even compared to being like water, and God's word sanctifies us. God's word washes. God's word cleanses us. It is God who uses his word and uses his Spirit to convict us of sin and to make us see our need for the Savior. God's Spirit convicts us of sin. God's Spirit is the one that causes us to be born again. Go back to John chapter 3 with me, if you will. John chapter 3, and notice verses 5 and 6. John chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. The Bible says there, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." So there is a physical birth and there is a spiritual birth. You were born the first time in the flesh. That's what your birth date's all about. And you must be born a second time, born of the Holy Spirit of God. You must be born again. You must be born again. I was born again on June 24th, 1981. That's the time that I look to as the night when my brother was sharing the gospel with me. I had heard it before. I heard about Jesus Christ. If you would have asked me as a little child, I would have said, "I believe in Jesus." I was hearing the gospel story many times and I believed in it, but that night I was convicted by my sin. My brother shared the gospel with me. That night I chose to put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and asked him to forgive me of my sins and asked him to save me and asked him to take me to heaven. That's the night that I looked to, that I was born again. A spiritual birthday in my life. We all need to have a spiritual birth. You may be born the first time of water, have a physical birth, but you need a spiritual birth. Notice John chapter 3 and verse 7 and 8. John chapter 3 and verse 7 and 8. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Verse 8. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You know what? You maybe cannot see the Holy Spirit of God. Just in a similar way, like you cannot see the wind. You know what we saw on Friday? You didn't see the wind. You saw the effects of the wind. You saw the effects of the wind. We saw a fence at our house that fell over. We saw neighbors' trees falling that were broken. We could drive through the neighborhood yesterday and see shingles on streets and houses with shingles ripped off of them. We didn't see the wind. We saw the effects of the wind. And listen, the Holy Spirit of God is similar to the wind in the sense that you cannot see the Holy Spirit of God. Just like you cannot see the wind. But when you sense and when you feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God in your heart, and you understand that you are a lost, unclean sinner, and you are willing to admit your need for the Savior, and you are willing to come to Jesus Christ in a heart of faith and trust Him and Him alone to be your Savior, you can be born again. You can be born again of the Spirit of God. You may not see the Spirit, but I guarantee you if you're not saved, the Holy Spirit of God is trying to work inside your spirit and to work in your heart and trying to convict you of sin and convince you of the truth and try to show you your need for Jesus Christ in your life. Your need to be born again. Your need to trust the Savior. You may not see Him, but you may sense His working in your heart. You may feel His working as He's trying to convict you and convince you. Notice John chapter 3 and verse 9 and 10 with me. Look a bit further. John chapter 3 verse 9 and 10. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things?" Nicodemus may have been used to lots of religious rituals. Nicodemus may have been used to a lot of the traditions of men that the Pharisees had added to Judaism. But Jesus wanted him to know that it's simple to be saved if a person has a genuine heart of faith. You know something? It doesn't matter how much you know about God if you don't know God personally. You know what? Nicodemus was a religious man. They knew the Scriptures. He would have known it better than most of us. But he didn't know God personally. He didn't know God personally. Notice verse 11. "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven." Nicodemus was going to have to believe by faith that Jesus was sent from God. Jesus was telling Nicodemus here that he himself could speak to him about the kingdom of heaven. Jesus could very knowledgeably speak to God about the kingdom of heaven. He could speak to him about the things of God. Listen, because he had even been there. He truly was the Son of God. And he was sent down from heaven. He was sent down from God. He could speak to him with great knowledge. He could speak to him with great power. He could come and try to reveal the Father to him. He could try to reveal God's love to the world. And he did try to do that. But Nicodemus was going to have to come to a place of faith. Notice what the Bible says back in John chapter 1 and verse number 14. John chapter 1 and verse 14. It says, "And the Word," and who was the Word? The Word was Jesus Christ, wasn't it? We've talked about that before. "The Word was made flesh." So God in heaven became flesh. "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Notice verse 18. "No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him." Jesus told Nicodemus that he was somebody that was come down from God. He was sent down from God. Turn over to John chapter 6 and verse number 44. The Gospel of John chapter 6 and verse number 44. It says, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God." He has seen the Father. Jesus, who was of God, he was the Son of God. He was the only one that had seen the Father and been with the Father. Verse 47, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." Now from these verses that we read, and we see that it's the Holy Spirit of God that draws men to the Savior. It's the Holy Spirit of God that brings conviction to the hearts of men. It's the Holy Spirit of God that like a wind, though we cannot see Him, He causes us to sense our need, or to see our need for the Savior, to see the need that we have in our life for Jesus Christ. The need that we have to be forgiven of our sins. Listen, I ask you this morning, have you truly been saved? Have you been born again? You maybe say you believe, but listen, does Jesus believe in you? He knows your heart. Is your belief, is it a saving faith? Is it a saving faith, or has it just been a mental assent to these stories that you've been taught? Has it just been a knowledge of some of the scriptures, or you've learned some things about Jesus Christ, and you would say, well, I believe in him, and I know about him, and I know that he died on the cross. Have you really put your faith in him as your personal Savior? Have you been born again? Have you sensed that the Holy Spirit of God convicting you of your sin and making you realize your need for Jesus Christ in your life? Have you been drawn by him? And have you believed in Jesus? Have you put your faith and trust in him and him alone as your Savior? Have you been saved? Have you been born again? How is it that Jesus showed us God's love? How is it that Jesus showed us God's love? We read some verses of how he helps to reveal to us the Father and so on. He reveals to us God's love. How does he do that? Turn with me over to Romans chapter 4, if you would. Romans chapter 4. And look at verse number 24. Romans chapter 4 and verse 24. How did Jesus show us God's love? Romans chapter 4, beginning there in verse 24, the Bible says this, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses. Why was Jesus delivered up to the cross? Why did he die on the cross? For my offenses, for my sins against God, because I've broken the laws of God and because you've broken the laws of God. Jesus didn't go to the cross because he deserved to. He went to the cross because he loved you and he loved me. And he was dying on the cross there for your sins and for my sins. Notice chapter 5 and verses 1 and 2, Romans 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, again, because he was delivered for our offenses, because he was raised again for our justification, because he willingly died on the cross and suffered and was crucified for us to pay for our sins, what can we have because of that? Chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the only way that we can have peace with God or be reconciled with God is through Jesus. It says in verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Hey, if you don't come by faith, sorry, access is denied. The only access we have is if we put our faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and trust him as our personal Savior. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. How did Jesus show us God's love? He died for our sins and rose again for our justification. He died and paid the penalty for our sins so that I could be justified, so that all my sins could be wiped away from my record. My record could be made clean and I could have the righteousness of Christ on my record instead. What a Savior. Jesus came to show us God's love. Turn with me back to John chapter 3 and we're going to finish there. John chapter 3. Jesus showed us God's love by dying for our sins and rising again from the grave, and he did that for our justification. It is being born again that Nicodemus needed in his life. Was Nicodemus a good man in some respects? Yes, he was a good man. I think Nicodemus was probably a pretty moral man in many ways. A good man, a decent man, an upstanding man. He was a ruler of the Jews. He was of the most zealous religious people. He was a Pharisee. He knew the scriptures. He could have come and quoted to us the scriptures. But something was missing. He had never been born again. He knew a lot about God, but he didn't know God personally. Being born again was what Nicodemus needed in his life. You know what? That's what we need as well. If you've never been born again, you need Jesus Christ. You need to trust Him as your personal Savior. Notice these verses with me. John chapter 3. And begin reading in verse 14. John chapter 3 and verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Boy, I'm so glad we don't have to perish. If we'll believe on Christ, we don't have to perish. We don't have to die and go to hell. We don't have to pay the penalty for our sins. If we will believe on Jesus Christ, we can be saved. We can be forgiven. Notice verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Verse 36, John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. By all outward appearances, Nicodemus was a good man, a religious man, a man who, you know, along with those that were part of his crowd, they thought, we're okay, we know God, we love God, we're better than everybody else. But something was missing. When he started seeing the miracles that Jesus performed, when he started, like those other Jews, hearing the teachings that Jesus taught, something in his heart convinced him, there's something about this man. There's something about this man. He's got to be from God, and I want to know what it is. And so he comes to Jesus that night. And Jesus, I think, understanding his heart and knowing that here was a heart of a man who sincerely wanted to know the truth and sincerely wanted to, you know, understand the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. Jesus then gives him this explanation. And says, you need to be born again. You need to be born again. Born again spiritually. Born of the Spirit. You need to let the Spirit of God save you. You need to be changed by the Spirit of God. You must be born again. He goes on and teaches them how to believe on Christ. How to believe and have eternal life. How to believe and have everlasting life. He explains how the reason why he came, the reason why he was sent into the world was to die on the cross. That the God in heaven who created them and loved them, and the God who they were even worshiping and felt like they were following, that it was that God who sent his Son to die on the cross. So that they could be saved from God's wrath and judgment and have eternal life. You know what, you maybe have known a lot about God or known a lot about Jesus, but have you ever trusted Jesus as your personal Savior? Boy, it would break my heart if there was people that I knew or people that sat in church or people that I could talk to and help, and you just were like those in John 2 who believed in Jesus but really never had saving faith. Boy, that would break my heart. If we were to stand before God one day at a judgment and I was to be there as an onlooker in heaven and then see, wait a minute, there's so-and-so being brought before the great white throne judgment. Now I know I didn't see him kind of with me in heaven because I've been too busy looking at Jesus and spending time at Jesus' feet. And so I know I haven't seen them, but wait a minute, now I see so-and-so being brought before the great white throne judgment, being brought before God, being judged for their sins and cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. That would break my heart. To know that there were some that maybe said they believed, but they never really had saving faith. Do you have a saving faith? I mean, are you absolutely convinced deep down in your heart that you are a child of God Do you know you've been born again? You must know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. There's no way to get to heaven except by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. No man, no religion, no nothing else can take you to heaven. Only Jesus. Do you know Him as your personal Savior? Have you been born again? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do thank You so much for Your word, and I ask You to convict us deeply. Maybe we're here and we're like Nicodemus, that we have a searching in our heart. There's an emptiness, there's a void, there's something missing. Maybe like Nicodemus that night, we've needed somebody to help share with us the truth. Share with us the gospel of Jesus Christ. Help us to understand our need to be born again, born of the Spirit of God. If you're here this morning and you have never truly been saved or never been born again, please understand that God in heaven loves you. And when God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, down into the world, it was for sinners. It was for you. It was for me. Jesus came down from heaven and lived among sinful men and willingly laid down His life on the cross to die for sinful men, to die for you and to die for me. If you're here this morning and you've never been saved or never been born again, if you'll be willing to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in Him and Him alone and understand that religion hasn't done much good for me. Religion hasn't filled that void in my heart. Religion has left me with an emptiness. If you'll understand that, hey, my good works, they don't save me. They don't get me to heaven. My religion can't take me to heaven. Going to church can't take me to heaven. Trying to be a good man or a good lady, that can't take me to heaven. But you'll be willing to come to God, admitting that you're a sinner. Admitting that you need Jesus Christ in your life. If in faith and humility you'll just admit that you're lost and you're a sinner and you'll trust in Christ and pray and invite Jesus Christ into your life and trust Him to be your personal Savior. Listen, God's Word promises we can be forgiven. We can be saved. We can be born again. We can be a child of God. If that's you this morning and you're not saved, you've never truly been born again, wouldn't you like to be? Wouldn't you like to be saved? Why not get it settled in your heart? Why not be able to walk away today with a certainty in your heart saying, I understand the gospel now. I understand the way of salvation is not through church or religion or my own deeds. It's only through Jesus Christ. I understand that I must be born again. I must come to Jesus. I must put my faith in Him. If that's your situation today where you know you're not saved, and you want Jesus to save you. You want Him to take away your sins. You want to be forgiven. You want to be a child of God. You want to have a home in heaven. Let me encourage you right now in your seat. From your heart, will you pray a prayer to God? Admit your need to God and trust Him as your Savior. There's no really special prayer. There's not really a special words to say. It's not something we could read from a book of prayers. But will you humbly admit to God that you're lost, that you're a sinner? Admit that you need Jesus. Choose to believe on Jesus and call on Jesus. Trusting Him as your Savior, putting your faith in Him. Again, there's no special prayer or special words to say, but maybe if you're here and you want to be saved, and you know you're not, if you will sincerely cry out to God from your heart and put your faith in Him, you can be saved today. The Bible says this, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Believing has got to start in your heart. And says, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. If today you'll believe in your heart and with your mouth you'll confess Christ and call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us, for whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. It says in Acts, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If from your heart you will believe on him and with your mouth you'll call on him, trust the Lord as your personal Savior, he will save you. He will forgive all the sins you've ever committed. You say, I've done things that other people won't forgive. That's okay. God will forgive you. He'll forgive you. If you're here and you want to be saved, maybe in your heart, pray a prayer like this to God right now. If you want to be saved, maybe pray a prayer like this in your heart and pray to God sincerely. Say, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm lost. I know I'm needy. And God, I believe in you. I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ. And today, I'm trusting Jesus to forgive my sins. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me and rose again. And I trust you and you alone to save my soul, to forgive all my sins, and to take me to heaven. God, I want to be your child. I want to be forgiven. I want to be born again. I want to be a part of your family. Please save me. Dear Heavenly Father, I do pray that you'd seal the decisions made in people's hearts. John Newton, the songwriter, wrote, "I, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." And Lord, maybe for some here this morning, that could be their testimony, that I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, I was spiritually blinded, but now I see. I see it, I get it, I understand it, I see. You've opened my eyes, I understand. If you're here this morning and that's your testimony, that you came to a place where you'd say, Pastor, I understood the gospel. I believe it with you. I believe what you shared. I believe the word of God is true. I believe that Jesus can be my only Savior. And I'm trusting him as my only hope to heaven. Just like the songwriter, you can really sing Amazing Grace and you can mean it, because you know it. Now you've experienced it. I pray that God will seal the decision in your heart and give you assurance. Assurance of your salvation. Assurance that because you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you are no longer condemned. You are saved. You are God's child. You're on your way to heaven. If you this morning prayed and trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and in a heart of faith you believe that, you meant that, then God promises to save you. If you had sincere faith and saving faith, then you are saved. You are God's child. God knows your heart. I can't see your heart, but God can see your heart. And if you were sincere in your faith and you had a saving faith, a true faith, where now it's more than just a head knowledge about Jesus Christ, but now it's a heart faith in Jesus Christ, and you're trusting him as your Savior, I don't want you to doubt that God loves you and God has saved you and God has forgiven all of the sins of your past. And you are now God's child. Now grow in that faith. I encourage you to grow in that faith. Thank you, God, for speaking to hearts. Thank you that you're willing to save sinners. Thank you for saving me, Lord. I'm so glad that I can look back to the date when I was born again into God's family. May there be people that with a genuineness can look to today and say, that's the date that I got born again. May 6, 2018, I got born again. I was born into God's family. I had true saving faith that day. And I know that God has saved me. I pray that God will give you that assurance and peace in your heart. to know that you're born again. Like Nicodemus, your life can be changed. Your life is changed, and your life will be changed by saving faith.